Hello and welcome to Global Research Unlocked, where we discuss what's rising from growth industries to rising risks and opportunities in global markets. I'm TJ Thornton, head of product marketing at BofA Global Research, and we're recording this episode on Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024.
You may wonder, why has issuance picked up now? And as you suggested, issuers are refinancing their pandemic-era debt. In fact, we found that over 40% of the use of proceeds from new CBs have been used to refi existing debt, and that's a record portion. And notably, not only are these refis from outstanding convertibles, but also refis of non-convertible debt into new converts, as the cost savings converts provide issuers are particularly meaningful in today's high rates environment.
It's been a busy year for convertible bond issuance. And even though treasury rates are elevated versus recent history, companies have found that selling converts can be a way to get debt funding at pretty low interest rates. There was even a 0% deal done recently. Joining us today to talk about what converts are, why issuance has picked up, whether converts may make for a good investment, and ways to get access to them is Michael Youngworth, head of global convertibles and preferred strategy. Thank you, Michael, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, TJ.
Most listeners probably know what a convert is, but for those who need a refresh, can you give us the very brief description?
For sure. Thanks, TJ. Yes, at a really high level, a convertible bond is a hybrid product that combines elements of both stocks and bonds. Now, in its essence, it's a bond that includes an embedded option or a warrant that gives holders the option to convert to the issuer's underlying common shares. Holders now have exposure to the stock, but they also have the benefit of downside protection via the convert's bond floor. So at maturity, holders have the ability to get par back, assuming, of course, we're not in a distressed situation. If the embedded option is in the money, however, holders can convert to shares for a value that is well in excess of par. And like traditional bonds, converts pay a coupon, allowing a holder to collect income as well.
Michael, why would investors want this type of product? What are the benefits to those holding it, and what are the risks?
That's a great question. And the key benefit is really asymmetric exposure to the underlying stock. And when I say asymmetric exposure, I mean the investor has the ability to capture more of the underlying shares' upside potential than downside. To put some numbers around this, year to date, converts have captured about 42% of their underlying stock's upside on average, compared to just 34% of the downside. And that's a really nice asymmetric ratio. It's actually the best ratio we've seen in the market since 2021. And typically, this results in better risk-adjusted returns than stocks or bonds when you compare over a full market cycle. And not only that, but there's often an income advantage over common stocks as well. And this is key for equity investors. Many young growth names in the convert space often pay zero dividend, and converts typically do have a coupon that outyields that dividend. For fixed income investors, CBs offer an opportunity to capture more equity-like returns and exposure to a differentiated set of issuers. From the options perspective, the implied vol of a convert is often lower than comparable listed call options, which allows for cheaper optionality on common stocks. And finally, converts also offer arbitrage opportunities. This means it allows for investors to capitalize on a relative value differential between the convert itself and its underlying common stock. And this is a very popular hedge fund trade. And in fact, hedge funds now comprise around 2/3 of the market. Converts, since they're a hybrid product, a lot of the risks are quite similar to what we'd find in traditional equities or credit. From the equity perspective, converts have a delta or a sensitivity to their common stock. One thing that we like to say is if you don't like a named stock, you're not going to like its convert either. On the credit side, since there is a bond component, converts are subject to wider spreads or higher interest rates that could hurt the bond value of the convert. And not only that, but CBs typically do not have covenants. Unlike traditional bonds, holders are not protected by covenants. And finally, the convert market is relatively small. Globally, it's just around $370 billion. And this means that on occasion, the market could become concentrated in just a few names.
What kind of a backdrop, just in terms of interest rates, equity markets, whether they're rising or falling, GDP growth, tends to be most friendly for convert performance?
Great question. CBs are absolutely a cyclical asset class. They do best in environments when equities are improving and GDP growth is strong. Historically, early to mid-cycle, that has generated the best absolute performance for converts. But actually, when you're comparing relative to converts' underlying stocks, which is something that investors often do, converts generally do best on a relative basis during late cycle or downturns. This is, of course, due to their bond floor protections that I mentioned earlier. For some context here, in 2022, converts lost about 18% versus their underlying stocks loss of about 36%, while last year they added 13% versus their stock's 24% gain. Year to date, converts have added just around 2.5%, and people may be wondering, why is this so low given the run in the S&P and the NASDAQ? The reason for this is converts are mostly a smaller cap issuer market. And as we all know, small cap issuers are highly levered to rates. As rates have remained higher for longer, it has dragged on CB issuer performance, which has weighed on the market's return. In fact, when you look historically, converts' relationship with rates is actually fairly complicated. Converts are actually quite low duration versus other fixed income from a credit perspective, given they have a very short dated tenor, usually no more than 5 or 7 years, and they have relatively small coupons. From a credit perspective, we would expect low rate sensitivity. However, convertible bond underlying stocks are typically long duration, given issuers tend to be growthier and smaller cap. This suggests that converts can do well during rising rate environments as long as rates are rising for the right reasons, namely increasing GDP growth.
Okay, and I mentioned at the start that it has been a fairly busy year in terms of convert issuance. Can you put that issuance into historical perspective? And what are companies generally doing with these proceeds from the deals? Are they refinancing regular debt, other convert debt, using it for other corporate purposes?
It absolutely has been a very busy year for convert issuance so far. To put some numbers around it, we've seen about $25 billion in new supply globally year to date. About $21 billion of that is from the U.S. And just for a little bit of context, the first quarter of last year saw about $19 billion globally with $12 billion from the U.S. And the first quarter of 2022 just saw $8 billion globally with about $5.5 billion from the U.S. You may wonder why has issuance picked up now? And as you suggested, issuers are refinancing their pandemic era debt. In fact, we found that over 40% of the use of proceeds from new CBs have been used to refi existing debt, and that's a record portion. And notably, not only are these refis from outstanding convertibles, but also refis of non-convertible debt into new converts, as the cost savings converts provide issuers are particularly meaningful in today's high rates environment. But to help understand the current primary market environment, I think we need to go back to the start of the pandemic. The convert market was really the first to reopen during the lockdown, and most impacted sectors came to the space in droves: cruise lines, airlines, retailers, restaurants. These rescue deals in the convert space allowed issuers to pay relatively low coupons compared to what they could in traditional credit. Instead of getting a coupon, investors were compensated with cheap embedded call options on these beaten down names. Following this first leg, when the work from home euphoria rally began, higher growth names in the consumer tech and internet sectors also piled into converts, taking advantage of the record low interest rates and storing share prices. So overall, these two legs resulted in over $300 billion in global new issuance in 2020 and 2021. And that's a record stretch of issuance for the CB space. So now when we think about today, as I mentioned before, the tenor is usually about 5 to 7 years. A lot of this pandemic era debt is starting to come due. In fact, more than half of the global converts market matures by year end 2026. And it's a pretty similar story outside of converts as well. We found that about 1/3 of the entire global high yield market will also mature before the end of 2026. Not only that, but most of this debt is starting to go current on company balance sheets. We'll see a lot more of this over the next 12 to 18 months. And until now, issuers had been waiting to address this debt given their prior expectation that the rates would come down from today's high levels. But as we know, that hasn't happened. And expectations have now shifted to this environment of higher for longer rates. And that realization, paired with the recent rally in stocks, has opened a sort of opportunistic window for CFOs to strike while the iron is hot. Issuers generally get better deal terms if they price a new deal when their stock is trending higher. But we found that there's little advantage to waiting to refi, given rates risks are skewed to the upside and stocks are now near their 52-week highs. And for this reason, we anticipate more refis to come to the CB space. In fact, we found that the types of companies that are now best positioned to save on interest expenses by moving from straight credit to a CB are borderline investment grade names from cyclical sectors such as TMT, energy, and industrials. Why is this the case? So historically, these sectors have realized the most coupon savings, so as much as 4 to 5 percentage points. And the smaller interest expense provided by the CB can help protect companies' balance sheets.
Okay. And back to those pandemic comments, you're suggesting that the convert market might be one of the reasons why we have more capacity for home exercise equipment than we will ever need. But just on the point about raising money at lower rates, obviously you said that happened during the pandemic. And at the start, I also mentioned how one company raised a 0% coupon. Could you give us some more perspective on just how much cheaper companies can raise funding in this convert market and why?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially given we've referenced this cost savings number quite a bit already. Some TMT kind of sectors can really get quite significant cost savings, as much as 4 to 5 percentage points. But on average, it's closer to 2 to 3 percentage points across all issuers. Why does this happen? It really has to do with the fact that issuers are offering investors a call option. They can bring debt at a lower coupon than non-convertible debt because of this call option feature embedded within the convert. The counterpoint here is that CBs are dilutive since investors have the ability to convert to shares. And while issuers can mitigate this dilutive element by using a number of strategies, such as a derivatives transaction called cap calls, or they can buy back shares on their own stock, the market generally perceives this as equity negative. And usually when a company actually announces a new convert, its underlying stock declines. And sometimes the moves can be quite meaningful, in excess of 15 to 20%. Now, another explanation for the drop in stock price is that convertible arbitragers are shorting the company's stock to offset their new long positions in the convert. But either way, the drop in stock price is a cost associated with new issue CBs that CFOs must consider alongside the coupon savings that they get versus traditional debt.
Okay, and you've also talked about how there's a certain type of company that tends to be a convert issuer, like MegaCap Tech, for example, doesn't tend to issue converts, which impacts performance. So what types of companies do normally issue and why is there such a skew?
Great question. It's typically smaller cap, higher growth names, often in their earlier stages of their life cycle. Some examples of sectors are tech, biotech, pharma, semiconductors, internet, consumer tech, media. Those have historically been the largest names. Lately, there's actually been growth among older economy sectors like industrials, utilities, and real estate. And we've seen growth in investment grade. In fact, actually 20% of issuance so far this year and last year attained an IG credit rating, mainly for the coupon savings element that we mentioned earlier. But historically, it is smaller, growthier, younger companies. Why is this the case? Why are they generally more attracted to CBs? Well, these types of companies have higher vol, which helps them attain more attractive terms in convertible bond pricing. Higher vol is typically advantageous for the value of the embedded option in Black-Scholes option modeling, and this generally results in more favorable terms for the issuer. Not only that, but CBs allow for a lower coupon, as we discussed at length, which was particularly important for growing companies, given they need to retain that cash for operations rather than servicing debt. But there's a number of other benefits too, including the fact that most converts do not really have covenants. So there's a lack of need for the company to go out and attain a credit rating in the convert space. In fact, more than 75% of the market is not rated by S&P or Moody's. Also, issuers have the ability to bring a deal overnight. And generally, all of these features are quite favorable to smaller, younger companies that really need to reinvest in themselves rather than paying out coupons or high dividends to investors.
When you think about the type of credit quality offered by convert issuers, the yield spreads, so wherever the yields are relative to bonds or equities, equity volatility, how do you assess the overall convert market? Is it attractive to you or is it just too idiosyncratic to have such a wide-ranging view?
Great question. It's certainly an idiosyncratic market, no doubt about that. But we do our best to publish a broad view as well. And generally, we're constructive for 2024, but I wouldn't say we're overly bullish. A lot of this has to do with the small cap tilt in the space. While we think there's reason for 2024's rally to broaden out the small cap equities, including the potential for improved earnings growth among small caps and some technical drivers as well, including relatively cheap valuations and light positioning, we think there are a number of risks to this view. Number one, risks are growing that the Fed might further delay rate cuts, which would impact smaller cap names to a larger extent than your big caps. And number two, and perhaps even more visible, the FOMO trade in mega cap tech may persist, making CBs comp to stocks even tougher. Well, having said all of this, we do think there are a number of alpha opportunities for investors, including participating in cheap new deals and the refi trade, in which holders profit from owning names that are brought back and refinanced by the companies. As we touched on earlier, we expect to see elevated refi activity for the remainder of the year.
Okay, Michael, last question for you. Of course, institutional buyers can just buy the converts themselves, but how do individual investors generally get exposure to the convert market? Is it through mutual funds or ETFs?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a variety of ETFs and mutual funds out there for investors to consider. Mutual funds comprise about 3/4 of retail offerings when comparing by total assets under management, and they do come in a variety of flavors, including some that focus just on balanced converts that have the most asymmetric risk-reward profile, some that favor IG-rated converts, some that are more defensive in nature, some even focus on the hedge fund strategy we mentioned earlier, convertible arbitrage. ETFs are a smaller component. The largest one has a total AUM of just around $4 billion. But even still, there are a number of them. And the ETFs do have good liquidity, a good track record of performance that closely tracks the benchmark, and relatively low fees as well, some as low as 20 basis points.
All right, Michael, thanks very much for joining.
Excellent. Thank you so much, TJ.
Converts can be a good way for issuers to raise debt more cheaply than what would be possible with straight debt. But issuance can also result in a drop in the stock price as ARBs short shares to buy the CB. Buyers of these instruments get downside protection versus the equity and get the potential for more upside than with a bond in case the equity rallies. but they also give up some upside in case the underlying equity performs well. One of the reasons they tend to look best versus the equity late in a cycle or in a downturn. Perhaps the higher rate environment has helped lead to a broadening of the sectors that have been issuing converts more recently, which also means that buyers aren't limited to just higher growth sectors like tech if they are looking for some convert exposure. Thanks for joining us today.
Bank of America and B of A Securities are the marketing names for the global banking businesses and global markets businesses, which includes B of A Global Research of Bank of America Corporation. Lending, derivatives, and other commercial banking activities are performed globally by banking affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including Bank of America N.A., member FDIC. Securities, trading, research, strategic advisory, and other investment banking and markets activities are performed globally by affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including in the United States, B of A Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC, and in other jurisdictions by locally registered entities. Copyright 2024 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.